NBA Odds Pod on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. The UFC is back. International soccer is back. The casino is open 24/7. Plus, they've got tons of sports sims to bet on. Use promo code SGP to get up to $1,000 in deposit bonuses. That's promo code SGP at MyBookie.ag to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by Madden Mayhem on our Madden Simulation Tournament, where we're giving away $10,000 in MyBookie credits to the winners of the best brackets. Is your bracket already busted? No problem. You can get in on the $1,600 second chance bracket this weekend starting Thursday. Get all the info at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Madden. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Madden. And finally, we were brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. And welcome to NBA Odds Pod. I am your host, Ryan McKee. We still have no NBA action to bet on, but I am still bringing you podcasts because what else is there? And I am happy to bring in my very good friend, Evan Scott Swartz. How's it going, my man?
Going well, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm never quite sure how to answer that question. I'm not sick. I'm still lucky enough to be making money, and I feel like those are like the only two prerequisites nowadays.
Yeah, it's really reduced life down to the bare necessities, which is in a weird way kind of refreshing and nice. Like it really does remove a lot of the outside stuff, and if you wake up every day and you're like, you know what, I'm healthy and I have a roof over my head, that's a win.
Still no NBA, but there is talk about the NBA resuming. There's a lot of different reports we can talk about, but I guess first, I mean, we do have some sports coming back. We have NASCAR, we have UFC, there's gonna be some golf matches, like one-on-one matches that are coming up. I guess as a sports fan, one, I want to ask you how you feel about that, but two, you are the only person I know who has been tested positive for COVID-19.
What an honor.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, I know a lot of people, so you should be honored. I guess we could talk about just how that influences your opinion. But I mean, first I want to talk a little bit about just your experience with it. I texted with you a little bit about it, but I don't even know how bad it was for you.
Yeah, for sure. And first of all, you mentioned some sports that are back. You skipped over a little something called the WWE, which has been running shows consistently throughout all of this.
You know, I did forget WWE. I'm very sorry. I know we have some hardcore WWE fans that go on the website.
And you're talking to one right now, Ryan. So don't diminish the fact that they have been doing the weirdest stuff for the last 2 months, trying to kind of make it work.
I mean, I don't watch WWE. I've heard from people that it's real weird to watch when there is no crowd pumping up these guys. And
well, look, it's a bigger kind of, at least for me, like guiding principle for what I feel like sports should do and will look like. But if you want to start, I mean, the other guiding principle is me, yeah, having had COVID and
yeah.
You know, I had it pretty early on throughout all of this. This was, you know, back in like mid-March. And, you know, it was certainly not as bad as what other people have faced. But I will tell you, it's one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had, not being able to smell or taste anything for over 2 weeks. That alone was just bizarre and very surreal and uncanny and all of those things, because they're really, that's what made it feel, for at least for me, scary and very disruptive. You know, I had some breathing problems too, and it thankfully only lasted about a weekend. But you know, I had one or two nights where I had a blood oxygen monitor on my finger, and I was on the phone with my doctor trying to figure out like basically the magic number for me to go right to the emergency room. And yeah, especially because it was 2 months ago, we knew even less than we know now. So it was definitely bizarre. I'll tell you, I feel incredibly lucky that I got it over with, and I tested positive for the antibodies. And so I'm actually right now, as you know, I live in Los Angeles most of the time, but I'm in New York right now. I'm in New York City, and it's mostly by virtue of the fact that I've got immunity, it would seem, but also, I don't know, I felt weird being away from my hometown during all of this. And it's also now strange that I can say I've been in, I guess, two of the three worst hit areas in America, you know, not including Seattle.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've got at least some, let's call it unique perspective or distinct to me perspective on all of this.
I mean, the smell and taste thing sounds like totally weird, and I'm glad you didn't have it as seriously. I mean, I've been reading, obviously people die from it, but even people our age and they're in their 20s, 30s, and 40s still get it like so sick to where they can't move out of their bed for like weeks at a time. And it's like,
well, I mean, I definitely had a stretch of about 4 or 5 days where I did not leave my bedroom even because it was just exhausting.
Do you know how you contracted it?
I do. It was through a friend, before everything really shut down, I saw a friend of mine who had been in contact with someone who had come to the US from Korea. Mm. And so the contact tracing, as they say, is pretty simple there. And it's probably the reason why I got it so early on, because it had come from, you know, what was then one of the biggest hotspots in the world. But, you know, that being said, I think as much as I did get lucky, I think, you know, I'm still having some issues where, you know, going upstairs, I'm noticing that my lungs are just lagging a little bit behind where they were. Mm-hmm. And so I just, to make it a little bit more relevant to what we're talking about, I don't know how a professional athlete willingly, at least one that has a true conception of how dangerous this all is, how they would really endanger, you know, their long-term health and possibly their career by doing something as risky as coming back and playing. And I think, you know, one of my biggest, you know, points about restarting the NBA or any of these other leagues is that it really feels like it's the players that are assuming all of the risk. Mm-hmm. And it's the owners that are driving, you know, the whatever, they're the driving force behind trying to bring everybody back.
Yeah, I mean, we can dive into kind of like who's pushing whom, but I mean, it does seem, you know, I read, Woj reported on the Monday or Tuesday that they are kind of trying to get like a straw poll of all the different players and where their feelings lie on it. But then there was also a report that came out saying that Giannis, LeBron,
I think Durant was in there, Steph Curry,
Chris Paul, Dame, got out on like a private conference call and established their united front in favor of resuming the season. So sure, yes, they are taking the risks, but you know, they have a financial stake in it as well, like a huge one. I mean, obviously the owners are going to be taking a bigger overall hit in the amount of money they're making, but you know, they're billionaires. These guys aren't billionaires. Like, it could still hurt their bottom line, especially the 12th man on the bench.
And not only the 12th man on the bench, but the entire rosters of I understand Curry wanting to do the right thing by, you know, his teammates and his competitive nature, but his team is mathematically eliminated. So on what how could you possibly justify dragging those guys back if you're the Warriors, if you're the Cavs, if you're my Knicks? Why would you come back and risk your health for essentially putting on an exhibition? And I just don't see any, first of all, as an overall point, regardless of what you feel about restarting the season or not, I think everyone would probably agree you've got to, for the NBA, you would start with the playoffs immediately. I think that, it's sort of lucky that certainly in the East and mostly in the West, playoff seating was pretty set by the time the season was suspended. Mm-hmm. I think there's been a little bit of talk I've seen about maybe doing some sort of play-in tournament for the eighth seed in the West, maybe even the eighth seed in the East, which I think would be a lot of fun and is honestly probably a good idea long-term for the NBA, just in general.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I think it's hard to tell somebody who's, been sitting at home and has no shot at making the playoffs that you've got to come back. You've got to get on an airplane from wherever you live and go to an airport and, be around people no matter what, even if they're sending everybody to one isolated, bubble, as they've been saying, if it's Vegas, wherever it is, mm-hmm. The risk is still just showing up before you even get on the court. The risk is so much more exaggerated than it would be just staying at home. So I think it's just tough.
I mean, the more I read about it, the more I feel like it's just not going to happen, period. Because I mean, I think we're in agreement that we'd have to start with the playoffs, especially at this point in the year. I mean, even if it was to come back even if they were able to come back full force right now or in like a week, we're still like so far behind in scheduling and stuff. It just feels weird to try to play out the remaining games of the season, exactly what you're saying, for exhibition purposes. Also, that's so many more COVID-19 tests that they need. I mean, that's like a big factor, is like the NBA, the optics of suddenly eating up a ton of testing when there's not enough testing in America. There's no way that they can test like every member of every team.
Oh, no. Ryan, I don't know if you heard, but there's actually, everyone can get tested, and we're leading the world in testing, and we actually won.
Is that what our glorious leader claims?
We won on Monday. He said it. So I think maybe we should, let's bring them all back.
Well,
instead of an opening tip-off, let's have all the players open mouth kiss on the court. That'll be great. Everybody has to sneeze in each other's mouth. That's the new greeting, and I think we'll be fine.
First of all, I would pay a lot of money to watch a bunch of NBA players open mouth kiss,
we could talk about that
homosexual way, just in a very curiosity sense.
I could tell you, by the way, the most intense kisser is going to be Chris Paul. We all know it.
Small guy. He has to go so hard to overcompensate for his physical limitations. He absolutely would be a very strong kisser. I think Russell Westbrook, especially, he'll go right in with the tongue.
He's going to run through guys.
Open. He just start with the tongue. All jokes about our glorious leader and open mouth kissing aside, I think that the testing is a huge problem. Even if there is, okay, let's just assume that there is enough testing and that it won't be weird for them to gobble up a bunch of testing kits. Adam Silver came out and said that, hey, if one positive test is going to shut us down, then we shouldn't even go down this path. And right. We saw with the UFC this weekend, three fighters tested positive, or I know it was a couple of fighters and one of, was it like a staff member? Three people tested positive, and that's a much more limited amount of people for these fights than whole NBA teams and staffs are going to have to take up.
We should also talk about kind of what the experience was like as a fan watching UFC, and we can also double back a little bit to what I was saying about WWE, because that is going to be the model for however the NBA comes back. There's already talk that there won't be fans for the entirety of next season.
Yeah.
And this may be the new normal, but I agree that there's just, it's one of those things where you would have to sit down and go, players are going to get COVID from doing this. What is the liability? Are guys still willing to come back? But it's a guarantee 100% they will be guys who, when they show up, let's say for argument's sake, in Vegas, they're going to all quarantine in one or two hotels. They're all going to play at the same, you know, facilities. You know guys are going to show up with it. You know guys are going to get it for the first, if they do a two-week quarantine where nobody is in contact with anybody, the guys are going to have to get sent home. And there's ways to mitigate it. Sure, I think, again, send half the players home, you know, half the teams home that aren't in playoff contention. That certainly helps. But there's no possible way that they come out of it without one positive test. And you got a lot of coaches and staff who are older and more high risk. And it becomes a thing of how much risk is everyone willing to accept? And by the way, I don't know if you saw, this is vis-a-vis the NFL, but noted super genius Darren Rovell was tweeting basically about the NBA coming back, you know, three steps, it's easy. All the players sign a waiver, you know, about not, you know, suing for getting COVID.
Okay.
They already accept that they're all going to get CTE, so why would they care? And I'm paraphrasing, not as much as you think, because, I mean, that is a lava level hot take.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. They're all going to get permanent brain damage. So what matters if they get a potentially deadly upper respiratory infection? And
I mean, that feels like a very Ravel take. He just seems like he's gotten to the point where he'll just tweet like the craziest shit to get more eyeballs.
Yeah.
He's becoming like this, the Stephen A. Smith of like tweeting.
Boy, what a title. You don't want to sit on that throne.
No.
Look, I mean, it's asinine, but in a weird way, he has a point that there is just going to have to be this upfront agreement. And it goes back to what I was saying about the fact that owners are really, really, really the driving force and the ones that are assuming the least amount of risk.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break from my conversation with Evan and be right back. Okay, there's a lot of talk right now, especially on this podcast, about how the sports are on pause and we're all missing sports and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? There is a lot of sports coming back, and there is still plenty of things to bet on at mybookie.ag. I'm opening up the website right now. We've got UFC back. You got Bundesliga back. You've got boxing. You've got golf, esports. You get simulations. Obviously, there's the Modern Mayhem you can bet on. Stop complaining about not being able to watch and bet on sports and go over to mybookie.ag and look at what sports you can bet on right now. There's even like U.S. elections you can bet on if you're not into the, you know, learning new sports. mybookie.ag. You can not only bet on sports, but you can also try your hand at the MyBookie Casino with instant access to hundreds of classic slots and table games. There's new blackjack tournaments starting every week, offering opportunities to enter for free and score a portion of the huge jackpots. Stay safe and stay sane from the comfort of your home. Sign up right now. Go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code SGP, and they'll match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. So if you put in $100, they'll spot you $50. So you're basically getting free money to come play, and you get to support the show by doing so. So mybookie.ag, promo code SGP, because with MyBookie, you bet, you win, and most importantly, when you win, you get paid. You have a unique perspective on it, and you're because you had it, and you're still having trouble breathing. Obviously, the players are at peak physical conditioning as far as just humans go. So you would imagine like their lung capacity is better. It probably wouldn't affect them the same way it would affect people like you and I. But right, you are talking about the coaches who are older. You're talking about medical staff. You know, who is exactly going to be taking, who else is going to be taking on the risk? I guess, I don't know, to sum things up, this week, I feel like way more hopeless that the NBA is coming back in any capacity for this season. And I really don't feel like I have enough medical knowledge to truly understand if that's like a good idea or a bad idea. But where, I mean, bottom line, where do you fall on it?
It's really tough. As a human being with a brain and a soul, I can't see them doing this. And as a sports fan, it's all I want. I'm so upset, genuinely upset, that we aren't going to get to see LeBron, Giannis, while LeBron is still squeezing years out of his peak, while Giannis is just going into his. And I mean, that would be truly an all-timer. This was looking like an all-time NBA season after, yeah. I mean, again, the NBA has been amazing for the last couple of years. I think, if anything, this is putting all that in perspective and making me appreciate how good we had it. But this season being so wide open and so weird, there was something magical was going to happen at the end of all this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it has felt like, obviously, this was the first season we've kind of came in where it didn't feel like a foregone conclusion of who we were gonna be the champions were for like the last 6 years or so. And obviously that didn't always play out that way. The Warriors didn't just like win five straight or anything. So there was, you know, obviously like excitement and the unknown still playing, but this was felt like truly wide open. And we did, you know, whether it be the Lakers and Clippers, definitely wanted to see Giannis go up against the 76ers. I don't know. I haven't fully wrapped my head around it still, but this is the first week I feel like this season's not going to come back.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think there's also a very optimistic way to look at this, which is on some level, it's terrifying to think about LeBron, you know, his entire arc of his career, which has been really, he's been so healthy. He's been in such good positions. He's managed his career, especially now with the benefit of hindsight, kind of perfectly. Mm-hmm. Whatever you feel about the decision, all of that, he was right. He was right to go back to Cleveland. He was right to come to LA. It's weird to think that we're maybe going to miss at least a half year and maybe more of the I'm going to say best player of all time's career. But speaking of the other best player of all time, you know, Jordan retired, I guess he was 31 or 32. So it's not and in way better physical shape than Jordan, just by virtue of the fact that like medical science is better now. So I don't know, maybe a year off or whatever, a few months solidly off for LeBron is good for a dude who's been in the finals, you know, every year for whatever, seven straight years, and the playoffs last year. And
well, he wasn't
a lot of mileage.
He actually wasn't
last year. I'm sorry, but he had that injury last year.
He had the injury last year. He sat out, you know, half the season. And we did see, actually, he came back looking very revived. So it did.
He looked amazing this
season. He was playing a crazy amount of minutes for a guy his age. Or just anyone his age, he's playing, you know, way more minutes than Giannis. I'm less worried about like losing LeBron because I feel like he's gonna come back, and I still feel like we're gonna get him playing until he's like 40.
I think at least, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if Tom Brady can play quarterback, and he's gonna be 42 this coming season, I definitely feel like LeBron can stay in the league well past 40.
How old was Moses Malone at the end? He was still playing, and they got weirdly similar body types, I feel like. And
yeah, he was the first guy that really like took, he was one of the first guys in the league that really took care of his body like year round. Whereas like a lot of the other guys, they would kind of like, even like the Larry Birds and Magic Johnsons, they would kind of take the off season off and just drink beer and like hang out and not do anything. But
and LeBron is an insane person about that. So you never have to worry about him.
Yeah. So,
well, here's my question.
Yeah.
Throwing that aside, all of what we said, fantasy world, they figure out some way to make this happen. And by the way, as pessimistic as I am this week, just like you are, I don't rule it out totally that they don't figure out a way to make this happen. And the only reason
I don't rule out anything these days. So
no, seriously. But you watched UFC on Saturday?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, they did it too early, and they probably didn't do it the right way, but they made it work. And I'll tell you, the no crowd thing, so as I was saying, for wrestling, it's weird because wrestling is all about crowd interaction.
Yeah.
However, what the WWE has done increasingly is pre-filmed a lot of things. They've done a lot of stuff, you know, matches and things more kind of cinematically. And they've tried to kind of alleviate some of that weirdness, and with mixed results. But I would say overall, if you're a fan right now, you're probably pretty happy. They've also been talking about starting to innovate with, you know, having wrestlers in the crowd acting as fans. They've talked about, you know, having people on Zoom and whatever, kind of surrounding the screen on TV so that they can react. You can see real fans at home. So they're kind of a little bit of a test balloon right now. And I think if the NBA comes back, they're, and the NBA is the most innovative league there is, they're going to figure out some interesting ways to do this. And I think there's something cool about just hearing the sneakers squeaking and hearing guys yelling at each other. It might be a really incredible experience.
I mean, I think that, yes, I feel like that's very interesting, because I did like watching the UFC when I could hear all the hits.
It was awesome.
You could hear the grunts, like
you could hear the coaches.
They could hear the coaching, and the fighters even said that they were hearing the announcers.
Yeah, they were hearing Dana Cormier giving advice. Greg Hardy said that.
Yeah, and actually took the advice, but I mean, brings in a whole lot of new elements. I just feel like there's no way that, I mean, that's pay-per-view. There's no way that the NBA that's going to be on ESPN or ABC, they're not going to allow, like, us to hear all the shouts of the players, because there's definitely, we're going to see how many F-bombs are truly dropped and these guys are saying
for
to each
sure.
other. They're going to pump in a bunch of music so we don't hear that shit.
Well, and by the way,
and they already pump in music, so.
They already do. I don't know if you remember, it was either last year or the year before, that LeBron was in New York and the Knicks decided that night to not do any music or like any organ or any.
I do, yeah, and I remember this, yeah.
You remember that? And the Knicks were like, we're trying a new fan experience. And I think LeBron basically was like, this is Bush League. Like, they're trying to throw off our rhythm. Mm. We're used to playing with the noise and the music and all that kind of stuff. It really affects things. I mean, I'm pretty sure, as far as I remember, they still crush the Knicks. But that's kind of an interesting thing to consider, that they're not going to be able to do this in empty gyms with no crowds and just silence. I think they're going to have to pump in music, things like that. And I know the Korean baseball, if you've been watching, they're just doing fake crowd noise.
Yeah.
And so
I would imagine the NBA would probably do a similar thing.
Yeah. And I think that if you're willing to look again for wrestling, it took a couple of weeks, but eventually you just get used to, like, all right, this is what wrestling looks like now, and this is what it sounds like. And I feel like for the NBA, it's way more conducive to playing without crowds, just from the intensity is not going to go down on the court, especially if it's, hey man, this is round one of the playoffs, your legacy's on the line, who cares if there's nobody around? And we all love the playoff atmosphere stuff, but I think it could make for some really, really intense games.
Yeah, I don't think I really don't feel like the quality of the product will be diminished at all, especially when you hear things like, you know, some of the most intense games were just like the pickup games from the Dream Team while they were practicing, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, of course, these guys are, it's not like the level of competition is going to be lowered because there's not live fans. And, you know, they'll probably find a way to pump in crowd noise that they could probably get in a mindset that they were in anyway. But, I think it just comes down to I think that the NBA is such a progressive league, and Adam Silver seems like such a progressive commissioner. I don't think that they will push. I think they'd be too worried about the optics of how it looks to put their players in that situation. We know that the NFL, their owners seem way less concerned about their player health. So I feel like The NFL,
you're kidding me. The NFL doesn't care about their players?
I definitely feel like they'll be – I feel like we'll get NFL before we get NBA.
I think if the earth had opened up and there was magma all over the surface, NFL owners would be like, well, we'll cut one preseason game. No bye weeks. So get the hell out there.
Yeah, or like in Batman – when the field
when Bane destroys the field at
when Bane is destroyed in the field, yeah, like you know that team would find a way to play like the next week. And now for another quick break, and we'll be right back, guys. I just want to remind you about Madden Mayhem. Okay, we are giving away $10,000 in MyBookie credits for the best brackets. And okay, so maybe the first couple weeks haven't gone great for you. Maybe your bracket, like mine, is totally busted. I had the Arizona Cardinals going way too far. That's a whole nother thing. But if your bracket is busted, there's a second chance bracket for the Sweet 16, which starts Thursday. Now, you can bet on all the games, including live wagering, prop bets, futures, and much more at mybookie.ag. Remember to use that sweet promo code SGP to make sure you get your deposit bonus. Games are airing Thursday through Sunday, starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. All you need to do is go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Madden for all the details. Make sure to get that Sweet 16 bracket in. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Madden for all the details. Yeah, so we'll put a pin in that there and kind of move towards the other thing I wanted to talk about with you. And that is just kind of what sports editorial has had to do during this time. And as people, regular listeners of the podcast know, I run the editorial for sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Everything we do on that is about gambling on sports. It has been traditionally, but we can't just, because there's hasn't been sports, or there's been obviously limited sports, we haven't been able to just like not keep putting out content. We got to still figure out a way to give people something to read, and put me at an interesting spot because, you know, I worked at MTV.com for a lot of years, and you know, this was during, you know, 2010 to 2014 or something like that, right in the era where people were really figuring out hardcore like what clickbait was, and you know, how to just like make articles. That was, you know, that was when BuzzFeed blew up and everybody figured out how to make these clickbait articles. And I feel like on the editorial side, I've had to revert to, you know, having our writers do a lot of kind of clickbaity things like 10 NBA players that Michael Jordan hates and 10 NFL players that Aaron Rodgers hates. And while I like don't love these articles for journalistic integrity, I can't help but publish them because they're getting so many more clicks than anything else we're putting out. I want to talk to Evan about this because he used to write for me at MTV. He's written for a lot of other places, including a lot of sports journalism. I don't know. Where are you with clickbait these days? And do you look at me as a horrible editor for publishing some of this stuff?
If I did, then I would be complicit too, because how many nine things you didn't know about your penis articles that I write for you at MTV over the years.
Yeah.
I think it was actually Scott Van Pelt maybe talking about a couple of weeks ago that basically ESPN had no idea what to do. Look, everybody was blindsided. But when the thing that you cover suddenly stops, it would be like if every, blimp and dirigible magazine suddenly was like, oh my God, what are we going to write about? There's airplanes now. It upends your business.
Way to find like a totally relatable analogy. You know, all those.
Oh, you don't get Dirigibles Monthly? It's definitely.
I thought you were gonna go with like something like a political reporter, and like suddenly all politics stopped. What do you then write about? But no, you went into dirigibles. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. Politics can't stop. Like even right now with the campaign on hold, political stuff is still flourishing. That would never stop. There's never not going to be. Look, restaurants are closed, and there's still plenty of food journalism happening. Yeah. I think even something like Hollywood Reporter and things like that, they're still covering the business. But I think for sports right now, every publication,
specifically sports gambling, I mean that's what we write about. Well, we don't write like we haven't traditionally written like human interest stories about sports, which is all there kind of is right now, other than obviously, I don't mean to. We are getting like, German soccer coming back and UFC and stuff like that. So we are writing about that, but I'm saying like for the last 2 months, what we've had to cover.
I think that there's been plenty of coverage of, again, the business of sports by these publications, but because there's no games, because there's no game recaps, because there's no locker room interviews, and because gambling has been so limited. Those things are taking the biggest hit. I would say gambling specifically, is I can't even imagine the amount of money that Vegas is losing every day right now, both from not having people in the hotels and casinos, but from not having the sports books.
No, I mean, just Vegas. I mean, the sports books in general, offshore and whatnot, they're all hemorrhaging money.
Yeah. And I think, in a weird way, they are going to, and this includes just regular sports media too, everybody's going to have to kind of transition a little bit to what the future of all of this is going to look like and what it was always going to look like. I think there was a lot of hope that esports would maybe save everyone, but I think esports are still canceling events and,
they've been able to figure it, at least in China and South Korea, they're still able to do events. I know leagues have started up in other places too, because they're able to play remotely, but they obviously.
And I think that it might be a little bit of a small permanent shift for sports gambling in general, is just greater dollar amounts coming in on things like esports, things that you can depend on pretty reliably, regardless of what's going on in the world.
And then, every book is, and we're doing, even with Sports Gambling Podcast, we're doing our Madden Mayhem tournament where it's all Madden simulations. And I think a lot of the sports books have been doing their own simulations for different, NBA 2K and Madden and FIFA. But I mean, it can't get close to what the numbers are on people gambling on real sports, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, I guess coming back to the topic I brought, the clickbait, where are you with clickbait?
Well, look, there's really two kinds of clickbait. There are things that people will click on because it's interesting or it's argumentative. The 10 best this, 10 best that. That's okay, because those are the real conversations sports fans have. I talk about those sorts of things with my friends constantly, even if there are games on, especially if there are games on, because that's maybe more than half of the fun of being a sports fan is arguing
whose favorite player is better.
Exactly. I think, however, there's also a huge amount of clickbait that is really kind of willfully deceptive, and I think there are a lot of people, even now that we've been dealing with that kind of, not to blame them fully, but the BuzzFeedification of a lot of online content for a decade, there are still plenty of people that just aren't maybe attuned to, well, I do kind of, like, maybe I will never believe what this child star looks like now. Yeah. Like that kind of stuff. And that is just purely evil. There is no good reason to be doing that beyond just getting, views for your stuff. And those articles are the ones that always have like, are you interested in, and then it'll be in quotation marks, like Jennifer Lawrence leaked. And it's because they just know that people are Googling that kind of thing and that they'll be able to steal those views and siphon off those clicks. But for sports,
and I mean, and even for me as someone who has worked in online journalism for the last decade plus, I still fall for a lot of those clickbait stuff. It says, yeah, I do want Jennifer Lawrence leaks. And you click on it and it won't even go, but that's the thing. Those won't even go to the article. They like make you go to other things first before you even get to the article that they're promoting on these other sites.
Right.
That's true, horrible clickbait.
Right.
More what I'm talking is stuff that, you know, we've been doing is like 10 NBA players that Michael Jordan hates. And that feels clickbaity to me. And I don't love it, but at least when people click on it, they're getting that article. We're not lying to them. We're doing our best to figure out which 10 NBA players Michael Jordan likely hates.
Yeah, and let me also just quickly say that hopefully while you're clicking through all of that stuff, you're also realizing that anything leaked is a terrible invasion of privacy and wrong, and hopefully you stop.
Yeah.
But for the finding out who Michael Jordan hates is fine, because that guy kind of sucks, and we should be hopefully revealing what an insane maniac he is. And again, look, as long as it's not a slideshow and it's making you click through 11 different things so that they get 11 more page views, I think it's fine, because that's the stuff that people are interested in. And especially right now, it's relevant when we're talking about Jordan. But that's, again, people love that kind of stuff. Those are it's the cliche bar argument that you're getting into.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go, I mean, I fall prey to this all the time, where I've got a premise in my head of like, you know what, Peyton Manning is better than Tom Brady. And then you go out and it's a confirmation bias thing of like, ooh, I want to read this that proves my point, or ooh, I want to read this that argues against it so I can get angry. And again, if you're a certain type of person, then go into the comments section and add your two cents. But I think that's fine. I think healthy debate and those sorts of things where you're actually offering up a lot of information, that's, people like information. And just because it's a listicle doesn't mean it's inherently bad. But yes, if it's a slideshow, it is bad. And whoever did it is bad. And you and I are therefore both very bad. Okay.
Well, we're not doing that at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I guess I think maybe I got a little sensitive to it when, you know, like we had done like 10 NFL players that Tom Brady hates, and we put it in Reddit, and there's just a lot of angry Pats fans saying how like, this is horrible clickbait, this is shit, you know. And while like I understand what they're saying, and I know it's not like the highest form of sports journalism,
I think I can say this to you as your friend and right now as your therapist. If those Boston sports fans hurt you, just consider where it's coming from, because, you know, they are just terrible. And I can say that with pretty much 100%.
Well, you're certainty. A New York fan.
And no, course. I'm right. Hey, yeah. New York fans are not much better. But I think that anybody who's that fanatical is going to hate no matter what you put. Because even if it was like, you know, Tom Brady on players that, you know, he's had issues with in the past, and it's reported and you spoke to Tom Brady for 2 hours, Pats fans are still going to call you a hater on Reddit. So
yeah, that's true.
That's neither here nor there. Whereas like, you're saying this, I'm kind of interested. Like, who does Tom Brady hate?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have to go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com to find out.
Damn it. See, this is where you got me.
We have, 10 players Charles Barkley hates. We have 5 players that James Harden hates. And one final break, and we'll be right back. I bet a lot of you are home right now. Maybe a lot of you are laid off. You don't have a job, and you're thinking of hey, what can I do next with my life? What can I use this opportunity to pursue something new? Well, have you ever thought about starting your own sports book? Well, if you haven't, you should now, because Ace Per Head is here to help you start your own sports book. And they're like, hey, I don't even know the first thing about what going into starting a sports book. You don't have to. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. They have top-notch customer support going 24/7 and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace Per Head offers live betting and an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP and become your own bookie. Actually, you know, like the 10 players that Aaron Rodgers hates, that was our highest clicked piece ever on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Like that was the most clicks we've ever gotten on a post.
For him specifically, for Aaron Rodgers, who I think we're all starting to understand is a specific guy, I'll put it gently.
Yeah.
And boy, does he carry grudges. That stuff is relevant. That is relevant to him as a player. It's relevant to you as a fan, because especially given that they just drafted a first round quarterback, it's going to impact the way that his career goes with the Packers. So I think that's something that is newsworthy. That's important to say, not only like you're proving your thesis of Aaron Rodgers carries a lot of grudges and that could impact the way that he deals with the Packers. Then you're also saying, by the way, he hates these guys. He might not want to join their team as a, you know, on that basis. That is okay. I think that if it was, you know, talking about Aaron Rodgers and the relationship he has with his family and the whole Bachelor thing, that's probably not relevant. And especially from a sports perspective, I don't really think that matters. But yeah, you're talking about football still. And for NBA stuff, I don't know. James Harden and Russell Westbrook.
You could argue that I wouldn't make this argument, but a sports writer could argue that how a player treats his own family would kind of show how he treats his own teammates. You know, if he's,
I totally agree.
You can make that argument. I'm not saying we are right now because we haven't published anything like that, but you know.
But I would say that, like, yeah, that's not an article that I would necessarily write. I don't think it's one that you would. But if another writer were willing to tackle that in a thoughtful and intelligent way, using real evidence as opposed to speculation, I don't see how an editor could say, well, we can't publish this. Because, yeah, it could be very meaningful for the on-field product. And, you know, when there was all those articles about Russell Westbrook and James Harden and their relationship at the beginning of the season and throughout the season, that's relevant too. That's important. That's important for fans, for the game, for gambling, all of that kind of stuff. So,
specifically, James Harden's relationship with Chris Paul and how everybody saying that led to a trade that didn't really seem to make sense for either team at first. And then it did seem to make sense. I mean, both teams ended up being better. I don't know how that would have carried into the playoffs because I feel like the way the Rockets went would have really been worn down, how they've had to totally reformat their team around not being able to have a big man because Russell Westbrook can't shoot, as opposed to what Chris Paul brings to the table. But yeah, it just seems like Harden and Chris Paul's relationship devolved to the point where they couldn't get along. So I guess that is relevant.
I think if you publish players that James Harden doesn't get along with in an off season, that's informed speculation about how that offseason could go. And if you had done that article, you know, before the Chris Paul trade, that is, I think, a totally, totally necessary form of sports journalism, regardless if it's a kind of listicle form. I mean, by the way, going back to the caveman days of the internet, everybody talked about Shaq and Kobe, and that turned out to be very, very important to the entire NBA, their relationship, and change the course of NBA history. So,
well, even before the internet, like sports writers speculated on like the relationship between McHale and Larry Bird.
Totally, you know,
people would talk about how Larry Bird would get on McHale's case for not wanting it as much as he does, or whatever. So, yeah, I mean that's been you're talking me off the ledge.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right. Let's. let's do some real, real gross ones now. Like, you know, 10 pictures of Shaq eating a burrito or something like that.
I mean,
just really gross, like worthless things.
If we don't get more sports back, that might end up what we, I'm probably going to green light that article.
It'd be very funny to watch Shaq eating burritos. He lives in LA still and Orlando. There's got to be Mexican down there.
I'm sure there's a lot of Shaq eating burritos photos.
It would look like a taquito in his hands. So it'd be fun.
So, wow. We've talked for a while here. Let's just kind of sum up where we are right now with sports and what we want to see going forward with kind of sports coverage. We are this weekend, we're getting back Bundesliga. Am I saying that right? The German soccer league.
Yes.
We're getting back Bundesliga.
Bundesliga.
Yeah. We have KBO Korean baseball. We have, you know, we have a lot of esports still going. UFC, WWE, what am I leaving out? We have NASCAR coming back this weekend, which seems
true,
like a, and so I guess like, and we're getting Premier League coming back, right? At the end of the,
Is that confirmed? Because
I believe that's confirmed that they're coming back in June.
Danny Rose, who plays for the English national team, I think he's plays for Newcastle right now, I think was doing an Instagram live this weekend and basically said, fuck no, why should we come back? People's lives are at risk. This is way beyond, and I loved how he put it. He was like, who cares about national morale? You know, there are people who could die. And I think the argument about we need sports in the US because it's good for morale, whatever it is. I just keep thinking about how COVID and the whole coronavirus, you know, pandemic didn't really solidify for a lot of Americans until the NBA canceled or paused the season. That was a turning point. And I think the risk of them back is...
Rudy Gobert and Tom Hanks got it, seemed to like get it in the same night. And it was all over Twitter. And that truly seemed to be when America started taking it more seriously.
Seriously. And so my fear is you bring it back to boost morale and God forbid guys get sick or seriously sick and they have to put it on pause again. What does that do for everybody? If we're looking to the NBA specifically as a kind of a bellwether, I would be very, very worried about the kind of psychological impact that could have. So talking about sports media, I have worked in sports media for a decade, plenty of friends and colleagues in it, and I don't want to see them losing their jobs if there's just not as much to cover. So for that reason alone, it's kind of the same argument about opening up the economy. Like, yeah, it really is scary to think about, but I just, there's so many ways that this could all go wrong and so few ways it could actually work out without a hitch that I hope Adam Silver decides to kind of be the adult in the room and just approaches this as cautiously as possible.
I mean, well said. It's a bummer, but well said. All right. Well, Evan, I think we're going to have you back soon on the podcast with some friends on some different topics as early as next week. Thank you very much for joining me. Is there anything you want to plug?
Wearing a mask, I guess.
Yeah,
everybody staying inside,
social distancing, and wearing a mask. As Evan said, it's really disturbing not being able to smell and taste for 2 weeks if you get this.
Yeah, let me also plug watching YouTube videos of trick plays set to like pumping EDM music. Because boy, that's been fun. You just go into a little world of, and then remembering some guys, as Deadspin used to put it. Boy, is it fun to go back and look at like weird, Magic Johnson highlights. And oh yeah, I totally forgot that Charles Oakley was a psychopath and used to elbow people in the face. And it's fun to relive the past a little bit. And I hope next time we talk, we'll have some more fun and we'll relive the past a little.
Yeah, I mean, I will co-sign on that. I started off the pandemic by watching old 90s games, got kind of tired of that. And now I have been just watching a lot of like stupid trick basketball shots on YouTube.
Yeah.
Everybody from like the Dude Perfect guys to just somebody's cousin in their backyard. So I'm with you there. All right. Well, thanks again for joining me, and we'll be back next week.
Basketball.